I have a special guest, a new guest in with me this morning. Dan Johnson is the new assistant principal at Two Harbors High School. Thank you so much, Dan, for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me here.
Yeah, so I know it's early in the morning, and it is often a challenge to become articulate early in the morning, but here you are, bright and early, which I find school people tend to be very good at that. So do you want to just share with us a little bit? It's a little bit of a variety's path that brought you to where you are today. I know you just have started this new job right now, I think.
Yeah, I can share with that. So I started in the district, it's been a while ago now. I was up in Silver Bay as the high school math teacher for 11 years.
Oh.
Did a variety of things up there, from coaching to teacher leadership teams to peer review through our QComp program. Then I decided at the route of administration in schools is what I like to do. So I went through St. Mary's and got my admin license. Then, of course, you start looking for positions, and there wasn't anything open in our district at that time. So I went up to Virginia, Minnesota for a couple years, part of Virginia School District. And then when they transitioned to Rock Ridge, so I was the assistant principal up in Virginia at the high school for 1 year. Then I was the elementary principal for 1 year at the Rock Ridge, one of their elementary schools up there.
Oh, wow.
And then prior to last school year, about 2 weeks before school started, I get a call from Julie Benson, the principal here at Two Harbors, saying that we have an opening for an assistant. And are you interested? I said, absolutely. I want to come back to this district. I'm from this area. My family and I live out in Normanna Township, in between Two Harbors and Duluth. Been out there for 26 years now. So last year at the high school, I was the assistant principal. And then this last summer, the district was really looking at the systems we have in place. And we were lacking one area, and that is what a lot of schools have is a curriculum director.
Yeah.
So that position came open, talked to my superintendent and the school board, and felt that that would be a great position for me to move into. And so that's what I started this fall. So I'm not the assistant principal.
Right, I kind of got that a little bit off. So you've been a lot of different things, but currently you have basically had a job created for you, which is working all on the curriculum. And if I recall Jay talking about this, he just really felt like there's just so much information everywhere on the internet, and how do we know that we are getting good curriculum? How do we know our money is being best spent? Is that what you're doing?
Correct. That's part of my job, is to look at what we're currently using. And right now, for example, we're looking at our math curriculum, which was still when I first started back in, I think it was 2009 or so. That's the same curriculum as what we're still using.
Yeah.
So we're looking at piloting those programs. And these programs, of course, have really evolved over the years, along with the expense of those programs.
Right.
So looking, are we doing those with fidelity? Are we looking at what's best for our students, what's best for our district? So we're piloting a bunch of programs right now. So I'm in charge of that, along with the other subjects that we're looking at. It's also looking at just basic instructional practices with teachers and helping support teachers in the classroom. So there's a lot that curriculum director is the title, but there's much more than just the curriculum piece.
Yeah. Would you say there are some areas of study that are relatively stable, like what we learned 30 years ago is the same, and others that have completely changed, or is everything changed?
It's mainly, if you look at what the students are working on, that really hasn't changed a whole lot, although the rigor and the requirements get shifted to the, lower and lower grades. When I was in school years and years ago in the 80s, what we did in seventh grade is probably totally different what we're doing in seventh grade now as far as the topics.
Right.
But the approach is a little bit different. It's more, what we're finding, the research is really clear on more of the discovery learning, the student-centered classroom. You still need that direct instruction, but a lot of your listeners might remember their math classes. Maybe they just sat and got the instructions, were shown how to do it. They did a lot of practice.
Yeah.
That works for some of our students, but it doesn't work for all of our students. So there's a lot of different approaches that we look at. And that part of that is making sure they have that curriculum to help support the teachers in that endeavor.
Yeah. Are you now the whole elementary and high school, or just the high school?
For the whole district. So I spend part of the week here in Two Harbors at both the mini and the high school, and then part of the week up at Silver Bay.
Okay. Wonderful. And now I'll just come out with a full disclaimer as a parent. Of course, parents all have their opinions. And one thing I've always watched with a little bit of wariness is the screen use. This is, I'm sure, not a new concern to you. And especially for young kids, learning a lot of stuff on screens. Do you have, I mean, I guess I'm asking your opinion about it, or maybe what is the going wisdom about that? I personally have read a lot of research just about how important it is for people to be in person and for kids to have mandibles to play with and touch. And just wondering a little bit about how you approach that with, I mean, I've been in the Mini and I know they have all kinds of different stuff going on there.
Sure. So it really comes down to that. And that's a good point. It comes down to that balance. I know when, you know, when we, you know, a couple of years now that we're, education has been interrupted and we were forced to,
right,
to really go to screen time. And then a lot of the vendors and the digital, you know, all this stuff, just schools are bombarded with all these programs,
right,
that are out there and are available. But you really have to look at that balance. So at the high school level, probably it's a good point with the elementary. Elementary, I've been in those buildings now. I don't see a lot of screen time being used at, throughout the day in the elementary. It's a nice balance. At the high school, I think it depends on the level of the student.
Yeah.
I know in our 7th and 8th grade math classrooms, they're not using their Chromebooks. They're doing the discovery learning. They're using the hands-on learning tiles and things like that, along with a little bit of that screen time when needed for some of these other programs.
Mm. And I'm guessing that Minnesota sort of mandates what the kids learn, but not how they learn it. So that's where you come in. I mean, there's nothing coming from above saying you must use this curriculum.
No.
Or is there?
Nope. There are some states that, you know, when they adopt a math curriculum per se, that it's for the entire state and the entire state uses that. We're not one of those states, though. We have our Minnesota standards that we have to make sure that we cover, but we can,
right,
do that in a variety of ways.
Okay. And can you share, I know it's early, so early in the year, and maybe it's much too early to ask you this question. Is there anything that stands out that you are pretty excited about that you feel either you've brought to the district or that you've highlighted or that, you know, just something you feel is important that is either in the works or has happened already?
So we started this school year with kind of a mindset of a reset. So I know the last,
yeah,
couple of school years, you know, coming into the school year, it was all talking about, you know, how do we keep everybody,
right,
safe and how do we handle these interruptions to the educational process? And this year was really about a reset and what we do well as educators.
Yeah.
I mean, our teachers work really, really hard. And so we want to make sure that they have the supports. I want to say we started out the school year with the great energy. I think teachers were more excited for this school year than they have in the last couple.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, you know, things are be as close
to normal.
Going
to be able to flow.
Yeah. and you're still going to have some interruptions. We understand that. But we haven't seen that to any major degree so far.
Okay.
And so you can kind of get into that routine with students and really focus on what they want to do best, and that is teach their students. So we did some great professional development, I thought, at the beginning of the school year, and just really talked about, you know, what it is that we do well, what are some things that we can improve on, because there's always, we're never there in education, right? There's always things,
right,
that we can work on and improve on, so.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think you have some events coming up that I'm thinking will help to engage the community and parents in what's going on at the schools and what the kids are learning. Do you want to just share the facts about those things coming,
yes,
up?
Yes, for sure. So part of the requirements that the state has with all districts, even in charter schools across the state, is the world's best workforce.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, so, you know, the name is, you know, they probably could have came up with a better name for that. So this was passed by the state legislature back in 2013.
Okay.
And its purpose is to ensure that school districts and charter schools enhance student achievement through teaching and learning supports. So it's really an accountability for schools.
Okay.
And there's five main areas that we have to make sure that we address in this document. And you can go, and our district goes beyond those five.
Okay.
You have to make sure that all children are ready for school. So that would be your early childhood programs and your preschool programs. All third graders at the end of third grade can read at grade level. That's the goal. All racial and economic achievement gaps between students are closed. All students are ready for a career in college, and all students graduate from high school. So that's the five things that are in that world's best workforce.
Lofty goals, I
Lofty
have to
goals,
say.
For sure, yes.
Okay.
And so we're always working to achieve those. And,
okay.
And so what we do in this, for the accountability piece with the state, we have to look at our data, and mainly the state likes us to use their MCA data because they spend a lot of money on the state testing.
Okay.
We also use that data along with our local assessments that we use, which we think are much more reliable and more in real time, if you want to think of it that way, not just like an end of the year,
yeah,
big, you know, big overall assessment that we don't get the results until the fall.
Until the kids are in the next grade anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
But we could have a whole nother segment on what the purpose of that is.
Okay.
So we look at that. And then part of this, and our district, along with a lot of other districts over the last few years, have not done as well of a job as we could have, is looking for that community input. So we have a World's Best Workforce Advisory Team, which is made up of your administrators and some teachers, and it's mainly supposed to be made up of community members.
Uh-huh.
Well, over the years, you know, you'll get a few parents, you invite some parents in, but we want to grow that so the bulk of that committee or the bulk of that input is coming from the community.
Yeah.
So we have these three events coming up. One is next week, next Tuesday evening at 6:30 up in Silver Bay at the William Kelly High School Library. Yep. And basically it's the time to come and we share the data of the district. We celebrate what we're doing well. And we are 100% transparent in the things that we really need to improve on.
Okay.
And we look at the variety of data. We look at our MCA scores. Again, we look at our local assessments. We look at what teachers are seeing in the classroom. And then we ask whoever's present at those meetings, what are you seeing? What kind of input would you like to give to the school? And we bring that back to that advisory committee. And anybody who's in attendance, if they want to be part of the advisory committee, they can definitely become part of that,
okay,
too. So we have one next week at Silver Bay. The following Monday, the 10th, I believe it is,
yep,
is at the Two Harbors High School. And then we're also doing one down the following week on the Monday, the 17th, down in Duluth Township at the Duluth Town Hall off the Homestead Road there.
Okay. And it's really, I mean, it's for anybody in the community, but it is a little bit targeted toward parents, would you say, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Anybody in the community who really has an interest in what's going on in the schools.
Okay.
And so we'll share. It'll be a lot of data sharing, but there'll be a lot of time for input and, you know, being transparent about exactly what we're trying to do in our district, what the current supports that we have.
Yeah. Yep. And these will be announced on the radio, too, as upcoming events to remind listeners. But I'd say put it on your calendar now and let's see, what else, Dan, is there anything else you want to particularly highlight, either about those events or just about what students are learning in general before we sign off?
Yeah, so the main goal of those events, like I say, get that input and make this World's Best Workforce kind of a guiding document for the district.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just something that we have to fill out for accountability,
right,
to the state. That's really our goal, and that's what the school board would like to see from that.
You'd like to really follow the intent of the document and make it a living thing, not just another requirement from,
correct,
the state. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know that someone who has been part of the, what did we call it, the Parent Advisory Council for a few years, it is hard to get parents involved in this district. So I hope that people will consider it. I know that, you know, in some ways it seemed hard to do it because everyone was pretty trusting that everything's going good at the school.
Sure.
So in a way, you know, it wasn't all bad. But in another way, I feel like we really could know a lot more about what's going on in the school. And
yeah, and even coming, and like I say, celebrating the things, the hard work that everybody from the teachers to the staff to the admin team to the school board and to the parents themselves, all the hard work that parents put into the
yeah,
education of their children, too. We want to make sure that we celebrate that. So that's going to be part of these community events, too.
Okay. Are there going to be teachers there?
Teachers are invited. We will have some teachers on the advisory. So what will happen is we'll have these three community events. We'll get some input.
Okay.
And then anybody at these events who wants to be part of the advisory team will have another meeting probably set at some point in November where we all get together, look at everything that was discussed, and then come up with our district goals where we want to go from there.
Got it. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for coming in this morning and sharing all this with us. And good luck with the year. Good luck with these meetings. Hope you get some good engagement from community members and that it advances things forward in a good way.
Oh, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we'll have you again, I'm sure. Bye-bye. That was Dan Johnson. He is the curriculum director for Lake Superior School District, speaking with us about the World's Best Plan coming up on the 4th, the 10th, and the 17th.